Welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus Christ. Our services are online every Sunday at 10 o'clock. You can find them on our YouTube channel. You can also find more information about us at gotothewell.church or find us on Facebook. And remember, you are loved.
How are we doing? It is so good to be with you today. We are kicking off a new series called Crazy, and I'm going to tell you right now, it is going to get a little crazy. So if you have not yet already, make sure to share this link on your social media platforms. You can share the link via text message, send someone an email. This is huge because what we're going to be spending the next several weeks talking about is we're going to be going through the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation is the last book in the Bible that talks about what we are to look for or look toward or how we respond to the end times. And I know with 2020, a lot of us are feeling, wait, is it here? Because you look outside and there's smoke everywhere. There's turmoil all over the world. We've been shut off and isolated from one another. This has been a year. So I want to encourage you. There are a lot of people that you may know who may not know, an acquaintance that you happen to be on friends on Facebook that needs to be encouraged and needs to hear the truth of Jesus. So I want to encourage you, if you have not yet already, share this link, subscribe, like, all those things. These are all tools and ways that we can help spread the gospel of Jesus to all of those who are in our circles of influence. So, love seeing all your comments and reactions and interactions here on YouTube and all the comments. Absolutely love it. So please keep doing that. Keep interacting. Let us know what's speaking out to you. Let us know what God's speaking to you. And as we open up God's Word today, Shane is doing a phenomenal job interacting. So if you have any question at all, make sure to ask the question. That way we can engage with one another with this. So if you have your Bible, if you have your note-taking device, if you're part of Shepherd's Discipleship, you've got your Lectio Divina ready to go. But let's lift up his word. God, we thank you that your word is speaking to us. Lord, you are not silent. You are not silent during these crazy times. God, we know that your word is speaking, your word is true. So Lord, would you help us to better understand what you're saying, what you're doing, and how you're moving so we can be a part of it. Lord, we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that note-taking device is there for you in order to take notes that maybe you hear during the message. Or maybe or the Holy Spirit's whispering something to you, and you need to write that down. So, 2020, right? We all thought it was going to be 2012 was going to be the end of the year, right, with the Mayan calendar. We thought 2000, Y2K, that was going to kind of be destructive and all over the place. But man, 2020 was going to be the best year ever. All the main holidays fell on weekends. We were going to have the most four-day weekends in any year in history. It was going to be a great beginning of a decade. And then March happened. And ever since then, it's just been nonstop. Almost feels insane. There's been an insanity that's kind of gripped the world. We have COVID that is spreading through, and for some people, it's a cough and a sniffle. For others, they're on their bellies gasping for air in the hospital. We have protests going around from things that should be protested and some things that shouldn't. Where some things where we want to celebrate, and now we're going, wait, maybe we need to question the system that we're in. And we realize that not only is there a left and the right in our government, but there's also this whole other distrust of going, we don't even know what truth is anymore. With the spread of social media and the spread of streaming services and these different documentaries who are letting us know what's going on, then we don't really know what's going on. And so a lot of us are living in this limbo. We have an election year, which is always a fun year. I know as a kid, I always hated it because it got in the way of like Batman and Ninja Turtles. But election year is crazy because of the ads, because of the smear campaigns, because of best friends, brother and brother starts fighting, sister and sister start going after each other and trying to, you're wrong, I'm right, you're wrong, and back and forth. And we start being really mean and rude and unloving to one another. We have wildfires that are gripping the entire West Coast that are destroying homes and businesses and lives and whole communities. We have a new Bill and Ted Excellent Adventure movie out. That was weird. And then we have aliens that were just came from outer space saying hello. Oh, we're not there yet. Okay, just wait for December, I guess. We'll see what happens. But there's so much anxiety. There's so much uncertainty. Our idea of our future is going, I don't even know what is going on. Some of you who've never saved a dime in your life have been saving like crazy. That stimulus check, you're like, oh, that ain't going anywhere because I'm going to need buy bread in 6 months. There's just, we don't understand. And so what happens when we no longer understand with the world going on around us, what we choose to do is we start filling in the gaps with our own thoughts, ideas. And our own thoughts and ideas are not a bad thing. But when they're not merited on reality, it can become very destructive. On this last week's Encounter Live, it was a powerful, if you have not gotten a chance to take a look at it, And something that Emily said, she said that opinion is the lowest form of critical thinking. Social media is full of the lowest form of critical thinking. And what happens is we allow our opinions to become facts. And when it becomes facts, we are so convinced in ourselves and we stop considering the other people that we're talking to. And we become more concerned about being right than loving. And this is that word that comes into place as conspiracy. We have our conspiracy about, you know, I think this is true, I don't think this is true, the government's hiding something from us, and then you get really, you can become obsessive about it, you become a conspiracy theorist where everything is conspiracy, like everything's out to get you, everything is out to get someone, everything is out to take advantage of somebody, and the root of conspiracy is paranoia, it's fear. It's secrets. Now, it does not mean that the truth is not out there. It does not mean that there are works and powers that are not trying to keep us, that are trying to keep us from knowing the truth. I was a huge fan of X-Files growing up. There's this place where there are those who are not telling us everything, sometimes for our own good. I pray for the existence of aliens. I want a Yoda, a baby Yoda, and Wookiees walking around on our galaxy, in our world. That is a dream and a prayer of mine. So thank you, Jesus, who I believe in all things. I'm just kidding. I don't know, I've seen some of you at the beach. You look like a Wookiee. And it doesn't mean that conspiracy theorists are wrong or that they're right. That's not the heart. It's not about if they're wrong or they're right, if it's true or it's not true. It's the heart that we approach one another in this idea. See, the heart of conspiracy is to trust yourself more than an authority. And a lot of times it's merited. There are authorities that should not and cannot be trusted. Look back at the Swipe series and we can talk about the foolish and the evil and the wise. But when a spread of conspiracy versus the truth undermines our ability to love those who think differently than us, then we're in the wrong. See, as followers of Jesus, we know Jesus is the truth. We know it. If you are following Jesus today, you are standing on the fact that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That no one gets to the Father except through him. Jesus, so what we often do is we revert from what Jesus has taught us to love our neighbor. We begin to turn on our neighbor through suspicion, through hateful names, through terrible talk, and through self-isolation. See, a lot of times we're so nice. Christians, man, you're so nice. You're not going to curse in their face. You're not going to use God's name in vain, but you're going to cut them off and never be in relationship with them again. Now, again, if they're evil people, there is a season where you have to cut off people. But sometimes it's just foolish, or they're wise, and you just disagree with them. That's what we do is we self-isolate in in our schools. We self-isolate in our churches. We self-isolate in our house, in our neighborhoods. We get off certain social platforms because they're too liberal for you. They're too conservative for you. And we stop engaging. The weapon in which Jesus gives you and I to battle is love. It's love. It's not a sword. It's not even a shield. It's love. And our ability to love one another, our fight, and this is what we begin to realize, our fight isn't against flesh and blood. Our fight isn't against our brothers and sisters. Our fight is against the enemy and the rulers and the principalities. The people are not the enemy. The enemy is the enemy. And so when we get into a place where we are allowing conspiracy to control everything that we do, we live in fear. And it's fear out of our own comfort. It's fear of not being in the known. It's out of fear of not being in control. And so what we do is we become unloving and we start attacking people instead of praying against the works of the enemy. So as we face the craziness of life, my goal through this series is that we begin to choose courage over conspiracy. That as believers in Christ Jesus, that we are not the ones whining on social media. We're not the ones scared in our homes. We are the ones who can stand firm on the faith of the foundation of the one who gives us life. And that's what the book of Revelation is about. But before we get there, I want us to look at the words of Jesus. I want us to see his interaction first before we see the revelation that he gives to John in Revelation chapter 1. We want to, as believers, we need to offer safe places instead of hostile environments for conversations. Every conversation has an opportunity to lead someone to Jesus instead of your opinion. I'm a little afraid to look at the comments now. Yeah, I need to. But let's get into it. Turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 1 through, we're going to look through verse 5 through 15. I like someone put level 10 of Jumanji. Yep. I like that. But which one, the Robin Williams Jumanji or like the Rock Jumanji? I need you to answer that question in the comments for me. Because Jack Black is in the other one, and that makes it even better. Anyway, looking at Luke chapter 21, verse 5 through 15. They're hanging out in the temple. Jesus and his disciples are hanging out in the temple. And it says, while some were speaking of the temple, they were admiring the temple and how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings. Jesus said to them, as for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left a stone upon another that will not be thrown down. He is literally sitting in the temple of God, the most religious, the most sacred place in all of Israel. He's sitting there and he goes, see all this? It's pretty cool, huh? Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's all gonna be torn down. A little sacrilegious, Jesus. Don't you know? Just like, shh. Can't destroy the temple. We're going to talk about the temple. See, the temple was the most significant symbol of not just faith, not just of culture, but to symbolize to God's people that God was still present among them. See, some of us have this idea that if I only go to church, will I experience God's presence? And this is the idea that they had as they are sitting with the Son of God. They are admiring the architecture. Because to them, it's more than a building. It's where God lives. And here Jesus said, it's going to get torn down. Whatever. See, we can get really caught up in the things that are temporary. And what we do is we root our security in the temporary. As long as the temple of God is here, then God is with me. As long as I'm getting all my bills paid for, then I know God is with me. As long as God brings me this perfect spouse, I know God is with me. As long as my kids are sweet little angels and don't do anything wrong, God is with me. As long as I have perfect health, God is with me. And the moment any of those things go away, I don't see God with me anymore. We're in the same mentality. This temple is important to them, just like we have created our own temples. But the temporary, it is important. This temple is important. But we must see that the temporary through the lens of Jesus, the reality of Jesus. So we cannot expect our culture, our comforts, or even our religious piety to not crumble in the wake of the craziness of life. A lot of things have crumbled in the past 6 months. You used to be able to walk into an Olive Garden, and the only thing you would have to worry about was how you would feel when you walked out. Now you can't even walk into the Olive Garden. Now you're sitting outside in parking lots. Maybe some of you haven't even left your home. Everything's been Instacarted in. Everything's been Amazon delivery. You're living in this fear and this anxiety, and rightfully so. Things are nuts. But we ever get to a place that you begin to doubt God's existence or doubt God's love for you or his plan for his people, his plan for the world. You start wondering and start making things up and start creating these ideas in your head, or you start listening to anyone who seems like they know what's going on. You start going on that rabbit trail. And this is what the reality is. No matter what is crumbling on around us, we must hold on to our relationship with Jesus. Everything that we're going to talk through today and through the book of Revelation, everything points to Jesus. He is the anchor to our soul. As Shane just shared, he is our refuge in our time of need. So let's hold on to him. Let's hold on to Jesus, because it's going to get crazy. We are to move from conspiracy to courage. Number one, write this down. Do not be led astray. Do not be led astray. It says this in Luke 21. It says, and they asked him, "Teacher, will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" Some of you asked this question, like, God, are you going to let us know what's going to happen? Like, can you give us a warning before this? Like, I laugh with my kids. You know, we're here in California. And when you live on the East Coast, Southeast, you have a warning that a hurricane is coming. For the most part, you know, there's some cases you know when a tornado is coming. You know when a big storm is coming. You have an idea. And my little girl asked me, when are they going to announce the next earthquake? Oh, sweetheart, this is like your official. You are a Californian. The earthquake announces itself. It's like that one cousin that walks through the door, and you know that he's here. Like, there's no way to tell take place. Now, there's a warning system that we might get a few seconds, but if a quake is going to quake, it's going to quake. So, when are these things about to take place? And he said, "See that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time is at hand. Do not go after them." So when you have those people on YouTube, on TV going, it's going to be March 21st, 2016 was the last one, something like that. The end of the world. And all these people go, okay, and they get ready and they do all these things. And then March 21st, 2016 comes and go, "I looked at the scriptures again. It will be in 40 years. My calculations were wrong." Or you have these people, you look through the 70s and 80s who followed these cult leaders who drank the Kool-Aid and ended up killing themselves because they thought it was the end of the world. So I wish I can say, hey, Jesus, in 2,000 years, we got smarter. But we didn't. Like I said, Y2K in 2000, it was the Mayan calendar in 2012. If anyone ever says this is the day, the time that Jesus is coming back to the end of the world, just walk the other direction. It's just walk in the direction. But this is something that we have a reality. Jesus says, and he says, "See that you are not led astray, for many will come in my name, saying that I am he, and the time is at hand. Do not go after them." He is promising conspiracies. We have our God who's just promised us there will be conspiracies. There will be thoughts and ideas and inclinations and people trying to lead other people astray. Because the enemy doesn't want to, He's not going to simply show up and go, ha-ha, look, I'm the devil. What he's going to do is he's going to lead people astray by simply causing a wedge between people and Jesus. You want to get people to believe anything, get them away from Jesus. Get them away from the truth. And you'll begin to see these kind of crazy things happen. So let me ask you this question, talking about being led astray. Who are you following? Do you know who's leading you? And you can't say, I'm following myself. I'm a leader of my own. No, everybody follows somebody. Everyone has a theology. Who are you following? Who's leading you? Who are you allowing to speak into your life? Who are you allowing to seed fear, to seed hope into you? Is it CNN? Is it Fox News? Is it Facebook? Are those your leaders? If you want to really get serious and you want to know who leads you, look where you spend most of your time. That's usually who's leading you. Do you believe everything that you read and see? There's a problem in our society when Christians are the most gullible and fear-based people in the country. We'll believe anything. But we're the ones that say that we have the Holy Spirit to discern what is right and what is wrong, what is the will of God and what is not. So who's leading you? Who are you allowing to lead your thoughts and your emotions? I want to share something with you about Jesus. And this is one of the things I love about who we are as a church, is we believe Jesus is four specific things. Jesus is our Savior. He rescued us. He put us in right relationship with God so he can pursue right relationship with us. Not only is he our Savior, but he is our baptizer in the Holy Spirit. It is he who empowers us and gives us peace, who gives us comfort to fulfill the mission that he has for us. Jesus is the baptizer of the Holy Spirit. Jesus is a healer. He doesn't just send us into the world and go, good luck. No, he sends us into the world because he's a healer so that we can be a healing to people. Whether through physical ailment, emotional pain, spiritual embattlement, he is the healer so that we can go heal and that he is our soon and coming king. We have a hope and a glorious future. This is who's leading me. The one who has saved me, the one who baptizes me in the Holy Spirit, the one who heals me so that I can heal others, and the one that I can look forward to no matter how hard things get, I know that Jesus is coming back. This is the four square gospel. And I put this up here. He is our Savior, our baptizer in the Holy Spirit, healer, soon and coming King. This is what four square stands for. This is what it means to be the well, is that we're going to stand on these four truths that Jesus is. Because if I don't want to be led astray, then I have to choose who's going to lead me. I love the quote from Alexander Hamilton, if you don't stand for nothing, what will you fall for? See, I want to stand with Jesus, a firm foundation. Four square literally means a firm foundation. I want to proclaim that Jesus is these things. This is not a commercial for the Foursquare denomination. This is a commercial and a call for you to ask your question, who's leading you? Can you tell me who Jesus is? We okay? We're good? We're doing all right in our comment section? Point number two, how we suffer is just as important as how we prosper. Come on now. How we suffer is just as important as how we prosper. Luke 21, let's look at starting in verse 10 actually. Then he said to them, nation will rise against nation, check. Kingdom against kingdom, check. There will be great earthquakes, check. And in various places, famine and pestilence, check, check. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven, check, check. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. Okay, so don't even look at verse 13 yet. How many of us say, sign me up? I know some of you want to go see Governor Newsom for a whole other different reasons, but this is different. It goes, man, this just sounds terrible. This is like the worst job description ever. And then verse 13, this will be your opportunity to bear witness. None of that is prosperous. None of that is get a perfect job with the perfect wife or the perfect husband with the perfect car and then post perfect pictures on Instagram and everyone will be like, oh, praise Jesus. No, they're like, no, there's going to be major issues and you're going to be persecuted, hunted down, and brought before kings. And guess what? This is your opportunity to bear witness. I love it. See, when things are going well, we like to brag about our new cars, our new promotions, our new adventures, our new jobs. And great, celebrate those things. But how do you suffer? Do you brag about your suffering? I know that sounds super weird. Do you brag about how God's refining you, how in the darkness you're struggling to find hope, but that there's that little peace? Or that things that you don't know how it's going to end, but you make the decision, I'm not going to go back to my old habits. I'm not going to go back to my old mindsets. I'm not going to go back to my old relationship with that one person that was abusive toward me. I'm not going to go back because I'm going to stand firm on who Jesus is, even when I'm suffering. That's hard. And if you're suffering right now, please don't feel any shame or any guilt. Just can you feel the encouragement of the Holy Spirit to stand firm on who Jesus is because he wants to be your healer. Even on the pain that you can't point to, you can only feel. Jesus wants to be that for you. Too many of us hide our weaknesses, thus we struggle to show our true strength. See, I will never follow a leader who doesn't have a limp. If you can't tell me what your issue is, I'm not following you. Because I know you have an issue, you're just lying. 2 Corinthians 12:10 says, for the sake of Christ, then I am content with weakness, with insults, with hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, he is strong. Weakness is not what's the word I want to use here without weakness is not weakness. It's a good way to put it, right? I can't tell you through the different adventures my wife and I have been on that she has felt more close to me, more loving toward me when I was able to say, I'm hurting, I'm struggling, I'm wrestling, versus I've got it all figured out, I got you, honey. Guys, one of the most attractive things you can do in front of your wife is cry. One of the most godly things you can do as a mother or father is to come before your kids and say, I'm sorry I messed up. You lead in your weakness. But something I want to point out, just kind of a caveat, just because I see things, I hear things, I experience things. Learn to discern between persecution and being inconvenienced. The fact that we can't gather in a church building is not persecution. It's an inconvenience. It's us choosing to be a blessing to our community because there's a health crisis at hand. No one's trying to stop the church because it's actually grown tremendously in this season, being able to utilize our tools and our online abilities and our tech teams who are absolutely incredible all across the world who have been able to take the gospel that used to be in a four-wall building and has brought it into hundreds and thousands of millions of homes. This is not persecution that we're experiencing. It isn't. If we can have at the Grammys, you can win an album for best Christian album. We don't live in a culture of Christian persecution. We have Christian inconveniences, but it does not mean we have persecution. As Christians, we face challenges, and we must rise up to the occasion with new levels of creativity and with care. No, not panic, not create false claims of persecution and whining for all the world to see. You want to know why people don't want to be a part of the church? Because we're like, no, I won't say that. Because we whine. We're that one basketball player that every time he gets elbowed in the shoulder just a little bit, he cries and has to go to the free throw line. That's the church. I can hear one of our camera guys just laughing right now. I love it. I love it, Ted. Can I just talk to you for one moment? I'm going to talk to you right here to camera two. Please, for the sake of the gospel, for the sake of the reputation of the church, for the sake of the season that we're in, have courage, love, stand up and rise up in the way that we encourage others and not tear each other down. We are not being persecuted. We're being inconvenienced. And we have an opportunity to show the world what it means to be mature believers in Christ. I want us to do that. With that, number three, write this down. Decide now that you will not know everything. Decide right now. You don't know everything. You don't have it figured out. That's why it doesn't take any level of intelligence to be loving. I think God goes, what's the easiest thing for people to do? That one. You're not going to know everything. Verse 14 in chapter 21. Settle it therefore in your minds. Not to meditate beforehand how you're going to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. I love this. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom. What we just spent the last 4 weeks talking about? Wisdom. Which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. Now, the most of your adversaries consist of is that one person who bothers you on a comment on social media. But when it comes to that time, when the real persecution is happening, you're going to feel ill-equipped. You're going to feel unprepared. And that's okay. None of us are prepared for those things. But the great thing is you don't need to know the answers. You don't even need to react to every single thing that's going on. Not everything deserves a response. See, Jesus' burden is light. So what heavy burden are you carrying that Jesus never asked you to carry? Walk in freedom. Walk in the grace to know that you don't have it figured out. God will give you the tools and the resources that are needed. Just a little bit before these verses in Luke chapter 12, verse 11, it says, and when they bring you before the synagogues and the rulers and authorities, do not be anxious about how you should defend yourself or what you should say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you that very hour what you ought to say. See, when you're led and you're following Jesus, you begin to become in sync with the Holy Spirit. And that wisdom will begin to come. And we see it lived out in Paul's life as you read through his life through the different epistles, different letters in the Bible. It's okay. It's scary. I know, we feel like we have to respond to everything because our silence is attacked. And then if we say something, we're attacked there. But when we choose to love instead of dominate, you're always going to win. You're always going to choose to honor God and honor people when you do that. So I'm not saying that things aren't happening behind the scenes. I'm not saying if you believe in conspiracies that you're unwise or ungodly. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying don't let it rule your life. If you have to choose something to rule your life, let's choose courage. The courage in the one who gives us everything, and that's Jesus. And this is why in John chapter 14, John writes this in his gospel, and the last letter he writes is in Revelation at the end of his life. In John 14, 1 through 7 says, let your hearts not be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and I will take you to myself, that where I will also be. Can we have the comfort and to know that we have a glorious future ahead of us? glorious future ahead of us. If Jesus said, if it weren't true, I would have just told you. It's all for nothing, guys. And this is why the greatest choice in your life, and I'm going to invite Jessica up right now. The greatest choice in your life is choose who you're going to be led by. Because depending on who you're going to be led by depends on what direction you're going to go. It depends on your emotional, spiritual health. Who will you be led by? And the greatest choice is to begin with Jesus. To discover Jesus for the first time. Romans 10:9 says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. And today, if you're listening, you do not know Jesus. It's all about what we're going to do right now. Jesus is your Savior. Let him fill you with the Holy Spirit. Let him heal you. And let him encourage you by looking forward to that he is our soon and coming King. And if that's you today, you want to discover Jesus for the first time, I want you to put your hand on your heart. Keep looking at the screen if you need the words. I just want to pray with you. We pray this, Jesus, I want to discover your love and your grace for the first time today, right now, in this moment. I am far from you and want to be brought near. Thank you for dying for my sins so that I can have abundant life. Lead me all the days of my life, and teach me to display your love to those around me. In Jesus' name, amen. If that was you who made that decision today, we want to celebrate you. All is seriously the best decision of your life to choose who's going to lead you. Now, if that was you today, I want you to text that number that's on the screen, 562-860-2407, or you can click on the link in the comments or in the description to let us know who you are so we can help you, because we're better together and through this process we follow Jesus. And maybe you know Jesus already, and make sure don't click off the video yet. I want you to continue to ask the Holy Spirit that he would give you new words, new heart, new attitude, new perspective on the way that you see people, that he would fill you with the fruits and the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Next week, we're going to start really dive into Revelation. And I want to leave you with this verse. Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the things that must soon take place. He made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear and who keep what is written in it, for the time is near. I can tell you right now, the time is near. I can't tell you when. I can't tell you if it's going to be in 2 days, 2 months, 2 years, 200 years, or 2,000 years. I don't know. But what I do know is Jesus. And if he says, blessed is the one who reads aloud, blessed is the one who hears, and blessed is the one who keeps what is written in this book, I want to choose to be blessed. I want to choose to be favored by God. And so I would encourage you, make sure you tune in these next several weeks as we begin to unpack what this book really means. What it means for you and I, what it means for the future, because I believe God has a purpose in your life and he wants to release that. So invite your friends, invite your family, share the link, do whatever you got to do, because we want to move. Can you imagine if we moved our society and our culture from conspiracy to courage? Can you imagine if the church decided to be courageous? I believe we will see the world change. Let's not miss this moment. Well, if you are in your home with your family, I want you to stand to your feet. I want you to grab the person's hand next to you. If you are not with your family, I want you to reach out to the screen. Because we're part of a church family here. And even in this room, if everyone could just stand. Those who are serving today, making it possible for us to be able to do this. God, we thank you for all that you are. God, we thank you that you are holy, that you are worthy, that we can come into your throne room exactly the way that we are, and we're able to come before you and worship our King. Lord, it's you, Jesus, it's you who even allows us to be courageous. So Lord, would you fill us with the Holy Spirit? Would you allow us to discern who's leading us? And would you help us to find hope in you? God, we pray for these next several weeks. God, I believe this is going to be foundational. Lord, would you put people in our heart that we can invite? Would you put people who we've been thinking about, that we would send a text, that we would send an email, that we would post on their page? Any way possible, because we believe that God is calling you to be a part of their transformation story. God, we love you. We thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, let's give him praise today.
Thank you for listening to the Well Podcast. If you would like more information and to stay connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. And remember, you are loved.